Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is based out of one of the most frequently asked questions I get on my Snapchat Q&As. So if you're not following my Snapchat, BrianK019, make sure to follow me on there. I try and open up every day, Monday to Friday, where you can ask me questions back and forth in a Q&A style. And all the questions that I get for the Friday Q&As come in via Snapchat. So make sure you follow me on there, BrianK019. That's the only platform I have that's not Brian Keane Fitness, just because of the names on Snapchat are a lot harder to get. So what we're going to talk about today is what is the best form of cardio to use and who should use what, what's going to be the best for you depending on your goals and how you should incorporate it into your program. It really varies. Like anyone that ever comes out and says, well, high intensity cardio is the best or low intensity cardio is the best or circuits are the best, you kind of want to watch those people because the reality is it's so context dependent. Depending on your nutritional plan, depending on the weight training program you're following, depending if you even are following a weight training program, your cardio and the best one for you is going to be very dependent on your context, on your specific goals, on your metabolism, on your body type, and on the program you're following. So there is no one size fits all. I have preferences and I'll talk you through my preferences, but that's not to say that the other systems don't work. They do, and for certain people they'll work great. So normally the most frequently asked question is, what's the best form, either high intensity interval training, which is HIIT, or low intensity steady state, which is LISS? That's normally the most frequently asked thing I get, but I'm going to throw in a couple of extra things into this podcast. So things like finisher style workouts and circuit style workouts for cardio, which I have quite a soft spot for, because not only do you get your heart rate up, which effectively is what you want to do during your cardio, when you use weight training and resistance training as part of your cardio, it can work very, very well in terms of tearing more fibers, which can elevate your metabolism if fat loss is your primary goal. So it really, really depends on your specific situation, on your goals. But I'm going to talk through different goals that you may have and what I think will be the best cardio system to use for you. So first question is going to be, what's better, high intensity interval training or low intensity steady state? So HIIT versus LISS. Every time I open up my Snapchat, I get asked this, I think nearly every time, because new people obviously sign up and it's a very, very frequently asked question. The short answer is both work great. I have a preference and my preference is always going to be towards high intensity interval training because it's a better bang for your buck in my opinion. You get more with less time, you can preserve more muscle, you can burn more calories because your heart rate is at a higher elevation rate. So I always have a preference towards high intensity interval training, and it also allows you to eat more food because obviously you're burning more calories because your body is going to exert itself a lot more than low intensity steady state cardio. But that being said, there's a place for low intensity steady state cardio. If your calories are on point and you're in a calorie deficit, low intensity interval or low intensity steady state cardio is going to work great for fat loss. It's going to allow you to use fat as your fuel source because your calories are low. So people that are doing like competition preps and photo shoots and getting their body into like a very, very near deathly level of body fat level. So people that are on stage and high-end photo shoots, low-intensity steady state is going to work great, particularly if you're in a calorie deficit through your nutritional plan. I lean towards high-intensity interval training because I don't actually like dropping people into too low of a calorie deficit. Even in my online program, the main basis, and you can see it because if you go onto my website, you can see the before and afters on people, the benefit and the fat loss reduction is coming from a training program, because I like to keep people's metabolism steady by keeping their calories around their maintenance or slightly above or slightly below, and then get the deficit from training. There's such an array of factors that come into play when it comes to fat loss in particularly. And at the end of the day, it is as simple as calories in, calories out. And regardless of where you get those foods from, if you eat less calories than you burn, you will lose weight. But it won't have the same effect on body composition, which is the most important thing. I remember getting an email before from a girl who was following another trainer's program, and she asked me, she was like, my body fat is way down over the last 6 months, but my weight is still the same. I'm thinking of switching my trainer. She was like, what do you think? And I was like, well, it sounds like he's doing a great job. I was like, that's good that your body fat is way down. She was down like 2 dress sizes or 3 dress sizes, but her weight stayed the same. And then I gave her a question. I said, okay, if I told you you could drop your weight by 10 kilos, but you'd stay the same dress size when you started, would you choose that over dropping 3 or 4 dress sizes staying at the same weight? And then she wrote back, she was like, yeah, I didn't think of it that way. I have no idea who her trainer is, but she was coming on to my online program, and I was like, look, your trainer's doing a great job at you. I was like, that's a good thing. I was like, it means your metabolism is still firing well, and you're dropping body fat, you're dropping dress sizes. So the truth is, it's not as simple as you drop into a calorie deficit, you'll drop weight, and your body composition changes. Your body's more complex than that. In an ideal scenario, you will drop a small amount of weight and a lot of body fat. But again, it depends on the program you're following. So in my online program, I try and keep people around a maintenance. So when you have more food coming in, you're going to keep your blood sugars more stable, which means your hormones are going to be in check, which means you're going to be able to build lean muscle or tone up as such, and lose body fat while having a better body composition and not messing up your metabolism. What happens with people that drop their calories too low is they get a massive upset in metabolism and their metabolism will stall. It's why people that go on crash diets or fad diets lose a lot of weight and then either put it back on or put on more than they did when they started, is because their metabolism has been compromised from dropping their calories too low. So in an ideal world, you want to try and keep your calories as high as possible. High is subjective. Like, high for one person might be 1600 calories, it might be 3000 for somebody else. So it depends on the case, depends on the person. But the reality is, you want to keep your calories as high as possible so that your metabolism doesn't get compromised, but you're still in your deficit from your training program, from timing your cardio right, from timing your weight training program correctly, and that your body doesn't have any upset in hormones. Your leptin, your ghrelin, your hunger, your satiety hormones, they're not compromised in any way, shape, or form, so that your body composition can change and you can drop dress sizes or you can get abs and get t-shirts to fit you tighter if you're a guy, so you look better in a club or, you know, out when you're going out for a couple of drinks or in a restaurant. That's what you want to do. But keeping calories high is the secret to that. And keeping calories high for you. For example, in my online program, there's different scales of calories dependent on your specific goals. So if you're a female and fat loss is your goal, you've got a certain calorie intake you're going to have. If you're a guy and putting on a lot of size and bulking up is your goal, your calories are obviously going to be significantly higher. So it really depends on the context. And then timing your cardio and using the right cardio around this is the key to having the right system. If you're in a low calorie diet and your maintenance calories is 1600 and you're eating, you know, 11 or 1200, low intensity cardio is going to work great. The reality is, you're not going to have enough calories to be able to do a high intensity interval training session, which is sprint training effectively, at its optimal level. So the difference between high intensity and low intensity is exactly as it sounds. High intensity is where you're sprinting and taking a break and sprinting and taking a break, and low intensity is where you're keeping the state pretty steady, but you're getting your heart rate just elevated enough that you could still talk to somebody, but you're like kind of breathing heavier than normal. Hit high intensity interval training, you are panting and you are out of breath on your sprint. So the reality is, if you're eating way below your calorie maintenance, you're not going to be able to do high intensity interval training that well. So you're not going to get your best bang for your buck on it. You're going to have to do low intensity steady state cardio. So here it works great. When you don't have the energy or the calories to do high intensity, you use your low intensity. My personal preference will always be to keep calories higher for the reasons that I mentioned. So your hormones in support, you have more energy, you feel better. And you can train that you'll have more energy for your high intensity, so you'll be able to do that form of cardio and it will take you less time. The reality is, you can do a 4-minute high intensity, like a Tabata style workout, or a 10-minute 30-30, which is one of my favorite systems, and that's going to have more benefit for you than 30 minutes of low intensity cardio. So not only are you going to get, you know, feel better, eat more food, you're going to take less time in the gym. Like, my online program is based on getting in and out of the gym in an hour. If you're in there any longer than an hour, you're chatting, you're talking to somebody, you're on your phone, there's no reason. Like, the workouts I've timed, because I've done all of them, they'll take you between 50 probably around the 50 minute mark is the average, but up to an hour for like changing, transitioning if the gym is busy waiting on equipment, but you should be in and out in an hour. You spend any longer than that, it means the quality of your workout probably isn't as good as it should be. So it's something that's worth looking at. If you're one of the people that are spending hours and hours in the gym, there may be something worth looking at there. So in terms of who should use high intensity and who should use low intensity, I think if you're in a calorie deficit and you're prepping for a photo shoot or prepping for a show and you're in low calories, low intensity cardio is going to probably work better for you, guy or girl, because you're just not going to have the energy to be able to do a high intensity at your max capacity. For the majority of people, and fat loss is your goal, or muscle building is your goal, because you'll preserve more muscle with high intensity interval training, because you'll also be able to keep calories higher, I would opt for the high intensity interval training. That's not to say that LISS doesn't work great, but if you are in a higher calorie diet, you're following a good training program, you're probably going to get more benefit from high intensity interval training than you are from low intensity steady state, in my opinion. Again, depending on metabolism, some people are, you know, if you've got a very, very fast metabolism, you may not need to do any cardio. Walking around during the day may be enough for you. You want to preserve your calories and amino acids and everything that you're taking from food and not exert it through cardio. If, for example, you have a super fast metabolism and you're a so quote unquote hard gainer. So again, it is very context dependent, but that would be the general recommendation. If you're a contest prep person or you're a photo shoot person and want to get into shape where you're at like near deathly levels of leanness and you're in a very low calorie diet, low intensity is probably going to work best for you. For everybody else, with fat loss as your goal, muscle building is your goal, toning up is your goal, I would probably lean towards high intensity interval training. What system you use is going to be down to preference or the program you're following. So Tabata or 30-30 or 40-20, there's loads of different systems. It's going to be down to the program you're following and the one you prefer the most. Okay, so the main question that I get asked on Snapchat is what's better, HIIT or LISS? But I'm going to throw in a couple of wild cards in here that I quite like as cardio systems. For example, I love using resistance style training or higher volume bodyweight exercises as your cardio system as well. So basically, cardio is when you're getting your heart rate up above a certain level. For low intensity steady state, it's normally it's 70% of your max heart rate or above. And then for high intensity, it's in around the 90-95% of your max heart rate on a sprint. So to calculate your max heart rate, you basically just do 220 minus your age, or your age minus 220, and that'll give you your max heart rate. So if you have a heart rate monitor, you can actually do the calculation while you're training and then work to that range. My normal gauge, I prefer the RPE scale, which is rate of perceived exertion, which is basically just a scale you can do 1 to 10 in your own head. So like a 1 is when you get out of bed, a 10 is a flat out sprint where you're feeling sick and can't breathe. To be in a low intensity range, you want to be around a 6 or a 7. So where you're walking and you can hold a conversation with someone, but you're elevated, your heart rate's elevated and your breath is a little bit, so you're breathing a bit heavier than normal. And in high intensity, if you're at a 9 or a 10, you're literally in a flat out sprint. So it's just an easier way. For me, it's the one I've always used. I've used heart rate monitors. I find them uncomfortable to train with, and the most accurate ones, you need to have one near your heart. I find them uncomfortable to train with, so I'm not a big fan. That's not to say they don't work. They do work great, and they'll give you a very accurate indication of where you're at. But I prefer the RPE scale because I just know that if I can hold a conversation with somebody but my breath is elevated, I'm at a 6 or a 7. If I'm at a flat out sprint and I feel a little bit sick, I'm at a 9 or a 10. So I normally use that as my gauge. So what I like to throw into my online program, and what I like to do, I do this actually on week 3 and week 6 of the first phase of the online program, is where I switch up the cardio and I actually take out the high intensity interval cardio and I put in what I call finishers. So I like metabolic conditioning, either body weight or resistance training as a finisher with high volume. Anyone following any of my social media, so my YouTube, my Instagram, my Facebook particularly, you can see that I'll put up finisher workouts at the end of my weight training. So instead of doing cardio, which I struggle with because it bores me to tears at times, except for high intensity cardio because at least it's fast, I like to add in finisher style workouts. So For example, one in my online program might be, you know, a variation of a push-up or a spider push-up, say in the male program, and say a version of a box jump or a knee step up from the floor, where you'll do 25 reps of each four times, and you'll rest as needed. So you're working for volume and body weight, which is doing two things. One, it's getting your heart rate very, very heavily elevated, which is going to put you into a cardio system. So cardio is just when your heart rate is elevated, but also because of the resistance you're putting your body under, you're going to tear more fibers, which is going to increase your metabolism, which is going to speed up your actual fat loss goals. Provided you're eating a massively high calorie, you can actually build muscle in this as well, providing you've got the amino acids and enough branched chains and leucine to support growth. I've actually built muscle using these finishers as well, but you got to tailor your calories to that. But this works exceptionally well for the people that have fat loss as their primary goal. It's also for the person that doesn't enjoy cardio that much and gets a little bit bored even doing high intensity interval training. It's a lovely mix up because you're focused on the rep ranges that you're doing. It's like doing another exercise, except you're doing cardio, you're getting your heart rate up and you're just using your body weight as the resistance. I do other variations with barbells, so like thrusters or kettlebells work great here as well, and just using the right system. So I mix it up in my online program on week 3 and week 6. The reason I do it here is because your body will get used to any program slightly after about 2 weeks. So what I like to do on the week 3 is spike it so that your metabolism gets another it's called a metabolic spike, where your metabolism spikes again because you've changed up something in the system or changed up something in the program. And then I let it slow down, let it come back to normal. It takes about a week, 10 days to recover from that. And then as it starts to recover again, I add it back in on week 6. So that's one of the reasons that my online people get such incredible progress, is because obviously they're sticking to their nutrition and doing amazing things, but they're also getting a metabolic spike, you know, every 2 weeks, which is giving them a huge lift in the middle of the program and towards the end of the first phase of the program. So it's something that keeps your body in its fat burning zone and doesn't let it stall. So many people will find they'll do a program and by week 3 or 4, they're starting to not be sore anymore. They're starting to just plateau a small bit. And then by week 6 or week 12, they've completely plateaued and nothing is switching or changing for them. They're not losing any more body fat. They're not putting on any more muscle. They're not changing dress sizes. T-shirts aren't getting any tighter. They're not getting any change. So this is to stop that. It's just one of my personal preferences because it's something I've been doing for years. Anyone following me a while, like I've been training for 15 years, 12, going on 13 years in a gym. So I've literally tried nearly every system you can, and it's a personal preference of mine because it's fast. It takes your mind off the fact that you're doing cardio, and it gives you a massive metabolic spike if you time it right within your program. So adding in finishers or circuits or resistance style training and getting your heart rate high enough with that is another great hack to use instead of high intensity interval training or low intensity steady state cardio. And it's one that you may not read that much about because it's relatively new in the sense of people incorporating into plans for fat loss. People will stick to the traditional high intensity interval training or low intensity steady state cardio because it's easier to explain. And I get that. It's been around, it works, but the reality is getting your heart rate above a certain level is what's going to support you most in your goals. And how you do that, if you can be a bit more creative about that and double it over with something that tears more fibers, that elevates metabolism, you're going to be on to a winner. So again, they're the three systems that I like best that, depending on your specific goals, I would incorporate in. Again, it's so context dependent on what's going to work best for you. If you're someone that's a massive hard gainer and really struggles to put on size or put on any weight, you may not want to do any cardio at all. Particularly, you may not want to do any cardio for fat loss. You may want to do it for aerobic and cardiac health, but for fat loss, if your metabolism is so fast, you want to use all of your food, all of the carbohydrates for stored glycogen, and all the amino acids for actual support of muscle growth. You don't want to be burning through that by doing too much high intensity cardio or doing too much finisher style workouts. So for example, if I have any hard gainers in my online program, I generally tell them to stay away from the high intensity cardio, and they will add in, you know, their workouts will drop to about 40 minutes where they're in, hitting it hard, and then getting out. Depending on your specific goals, Again, if you're a photo shoot person or a contest prep, you may want to have a low calorie diet. I personally don't prep. When I even used to prep myself, I didn't prep that way. I don't do contest preps anymore, but that wasn't a system that I followed. It will work and it will get you really lean, but it will also probably put you in a negative spiral of hormones being out of whack when you come out of the contest prep, and that leads to a dreaded rebound. So anyone that knows anyone that's done a photo shoot or a contest show, you can normally see them rebound out pretty badly because hormones get offset from dropping calories too low and then doing too much training and intensive levels of high levels of low intensity cardio. So if you're in that section, low intensity cardio may work great for you. Everybody else then, where if the general rule I would follow with muscle building, fat loss, or toning up is your goal, I would use high intensity cardio as your main method, or the finisher style workouts, which is effectively another version of high intensity cardio, just with more resistance so that you get your metabolism elevated. I would use that as your primary source. As someone that's trained for so many years and has worked with people for countless years, that's one of the ones that I found has the best bang for your buck. It takes less time, you can eat more food, and it generally gives your body a better response. If you're trying to build muscle or tone up, you're going to preserve more muscle because you're doing it under less time, and you're also working within a different energy system, and you are going to preserve the muscle that your body has. On top of that, the one other thing I'll add to is fasted cardio, which is a very, very frequently asked question I get as well, is how should I do fasted cardio? Again, it's very, very dependent on your goals. Each person is going to be different depending on how fast their metabolism is or how slow their metabolism is. But my general recommendation is if you're doing fasted cardio, I would probably stick with a lower intensity style cardio, because you're not going to be able to work at an optimal level with high intensity if you're fasted. Unless you've had a big meal the night before or had a high carb meal the night before where you have glycogen stores still semi-full and you have an energy source to burn through. The reason high intensity works so well is because you're going all out on it. So for example, if you're doing a 30-second sprint and a 30-second recovery and you're doing it 10 times, the reason it works so well is because you're going balls to the wall for, you know, the 30 seconds that you're sprinting. It's very hard to do that first thing in the morning because you generally don't have the energy or the stores of glycogen or the stores of even just calories to be able to use them as a fuel source. So a couple of hacks that if you do want to do high intensity interval training and first thing in the morning is I would try adding a fuel source in. So something like coconut oil or an MCT, a medium chain triglyceride, which is a fat that your body can use for immediate energy, and maybe some caffeine first thing in the morning before your high intensity interval training. So at least your body has an immediate fuel source you can use. MCTs will make you feel like you've had something sugary. It'll make you feel like you've had like some glucose to your brain, because that's how MCTs work, but they have no effect on blood sugar. So they're an incredible thing to use fast in the morning, and then make sure you're sipping on a branched chain amino acid drink. I would never train fully fasted first thing in the morning. I would always have a branched chain amino acid drink for a couple of reasons. One, in the absence of food, your body can use it as a fuel source. So at least if you're doing a high intensity or even low intensity cardio, your body's going to preserve the muscle because it'll use the leucine, it'll use the amino acids and use the branched chains as an energy source. So your body doesn't eat into its preserved muscle. Regardless of what you do, you want to preserve any muscle you have. Remember, muscle is lean. Regardless of how much you have, it's lean. Fat is fat. You want to preserve your muscle because that's what's keeping your metabolism elevated. So your branched chain amino acid, even in a fasted state, will at least be used as an energy source. The reason I like branched chain amino acids in normal programs is you can either use it as an energy source, or whatever's extra will support muscle growth or support metabolism in terms of keeping the muscle that you have, because leucine is the most anabolic of all the amino acids, and leucine is the primary ingredient in branched chain amino acids. So if you are training fasted, whether it's HIIT or LISS, I would make sure you are supplementing with a branched chain amino acid drink. And if you decide that you want to do high intensity interval training, I would probably supplement with some form of MCT. So either coconut oil or some variation of an MCT oil, and an optional coffee or green tea before you train, just to give you a little bit of a kick in the morning. There's one other system that works really, really well, and it's a combination of HIIT and LISS, and it's called the Stubborn Fat Loss Protocol 2.0. I'll discuss it briefly because it does work very well, but it's something to use when you're stuck. When you've plateaued, I would add it in. And it's for somebody that's not following a set program. So for example, if you were following my online program or another trainer with a, you know, a very solid online program, you wouldn't incorporate this because you're going to be hitting all these areas across your entire program. For just somebody that needs something as a kick to push them on, the Stubborn Fat Loss Protocol 2.0 works very well. It's basically high intensity cardio mixed with low intensity cardio combined with high intensity cardio to finish. It normally takes about 45, 50 minutes. The idea is you do 5 minutes of a sprint at the beginning, so 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, which the idea is to release fat into the cells so that it's so that you're able to burn through stubborn body fat as a fuel source. You do this system fasted, and then you do 20 to 30 minutes of steady state cardio with the idea is that you're burning up the fat as the fuel source. And then the last is a 10 minutes of sprint, say 30-30, where your body's able to tap into its stubborn body fat. I've used it and it does work pretty well, but it's for the person that basically isn't on an online program or isn't on with a trainer or isn't working with, you know, a high-end professional, because it's just an easy go-to system, because it's 5 minute sprint, 20, 30 minutes of steady state, and a 10 minute sprint at the end. And it works really, really well for stubborn fat loss. But the reality is, if you're hedging your bets with a good nutritional plan, a good training program, and a good cardio system at the end of it, you won't need to do this system, because the reality is it's 45, 50 minutes every morning to get that kick, and it's normally used for when you've massively plateaued and you don't have a system to turn to. The only reason I offer it and speak about it is because it does work, but it's just not my favorite method. It would actually be my least favorite thing to go to because it takes so long to do. And you can not rebound back, but you tend to not hold off the fat that you've burnt as soon as you stop doing it. So it's my least favorite. But for example, if you had to be ready for a date, for a wedding, for a shoot, for a show, for whatever it is, that system does work really well in the short term. You just don't hold it off long term, and it doesn't tend to be that sustainable because your body will go back to its normal base as soon as you stop doing it. But if you needed something in the short term and you have an event in 2 weeks, adding that in 4 or 5 mornings a week is going to give you a push, and it's going to get you leaner than not doing it, providing you're not on another program with another trainer or on my program or on somebody's program that has your bases covered already. So I hope that helped clear some things up. Regardless of your goal, whether it's to build a lot of muscle, massively bulk up, or just lose some body fat and drop a few dress sizes, hopefully that clears up what cardio systems may work best for you. Again, I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who's been downloading the podcast. The feedback from iTunes has been incredible. I'm not even sure where our ratings are, but I know we were around the third of all downloads in Ireland over the last few weeks, and I was in the US last week, so I haven't even got to check it. But thank you to everyone who's been rating and commenting the show. The reason I've been able to go up to 2 episodes a week is because of all the feedback and ratings and comments on the show. So anyone that's taking their time out to just give it a rating, thank you so much. If you haven't done that, I'll please ask, if you found any value in this episode or any other episode, please just give the podcast a rating, because that's what gives the feedback to iTunes and what means we can pump out more episodes. So I just want to say a massive thank you again. For more information on me, you can check out my blog on www.briankeenfitness.com, or you can find me on social media, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, Brian Keen Fitness, and Snapchat, BrianK019, which is probably my most used medium at the minute, where I open it up for my Q&A's and all the questions that come in from the Friday podcast or any episode where I do questions at the end are coming directly from Snapchat. So make sure you follow me on there, BrianK019. I also want to say a massive thank you to Voxonic Studios, who edit and produce the podcast episodes. So Cullum over at Voxonic Studios has been incredible. So anyone looking to get set up with a podcast, definitely check out Cullum on there. And I just want to say a massive thank you again to everyone for downloading and listening. Without you guys, there would be no episodes. So I'll come at you on Friday with another episode. Catch you soon.